So brothers and sisters, as we begin today, first of all, to all of you fathers, a very, very blessed and happy Father's Day. Certainly a great day to celebrate with you and for you. We're certainly grateful for the gift of life that you've chosen, the gift of life that you have provided. So God's blessings to you on this Father's Day. At the end of our petitions, like we did at Mother's Day, we will offer you a blessing as we honor all of our fathers this day. You know, everyone, we celebrated Pentecost two Sundays ago, and we mentioned with Pentecost, Easter comes to a close. And isn't it interesting, everyone, it's the only time that I can think of that when a season comes to a close, we would think right away, as we get back into ordinary time, the color we would wear the following Sunday would be the color of the season. It would be green. But actually, we didn't last week. And once you think it would be maybe the color the following week, this week, and actually, we don't wear color green. Every year, after Pentecost, we celebrate, everyone, the great feast of the Holy Trinity, and the Sunday following that, we celebrate the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Church believes so much in what it is that we believe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that gives us a Sunday to reflect upon the mystery of the Trinity. And the following Sunday, we realize the most critical element that it takes for us to stay in relationship with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that is the most sacred body and blood of Jesus Christ. Last week was the Holy Trinity. This week, Corpus Christi. So let's take a look today at that great mystery of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I want to start out with a question. Would you do everything that Jesus told you? Do you believe in Jesus so much that you would do everything that he asks of you? Let me start out with a scenario. Pretend you go to your physician for your annual physical. Your physician checks you over and detects there something might may not be quite right. Sends off for further tests. Because it's a physician you trust, you go for these tests. Physician comes back, calls you in the office, indeed says that what I feared is a reality. You have a terminal illness. You have 3 months to live. But your physician tells you I have some good news for you. Okay? There's a medication that has come out, no side effects, that if you take it, will give you an extra 20 or 30 years of life. If your physician asks, would you take it? What would you say to your physician? You probably would. Why? Because you trust your physician. You have no reason not to believe your physician. Well, what about the divine physician? Do you believe everything that he says? Do you have enough faith in what Jesus says to say, I will do whatever you ask of me? Now, it's a little tricky because of today's gospel. Jesus tells the religious leaders, his disciples, and his followers these words, eat my body and drink my blood. And what happens, everyone? A quarrel breaks out. They start to basically quarrel amongst themselves. How can this man give us his body to eat? How can he give us his blood to drink? Not only are the religious leaders thrown into a frenzy, everyone, but if you continue to read John 6, you realize many of their followers simply went back to their own way of life. Basically, they thought Jesus was out of his mind. He was crazy. And yet, notice what he never does. He never runs after him and says, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, let me recant it. Let me take it back. He never does. He says, lets him go. Because he realizes they know exactly what he says. And he turns to his disciples and says, okay, guys, what about you? If you go, I'm not coming after you. And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do you believe, people? As you go forth from this church, do you believe the bread becomes the body, the blood, soul, divinity of Jesus? The cup, contents of that cup, body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus. Let me explain those words for you, first of all. Body, blood, soul, divinity. People, we are fully human. That means, do we have a body? Yes. Do we have blood? Yes. Do we have a soul? Yes. Remember what we say about Jesus. Jesus was fully human and fully divine. I can't say, everyone, that I'm fully divine. That's why when we say the Eucharist, the fullness of it, body, blood, soul, everything that we have, fully divine, fully human, but also the divinity, because Jesus was fully divine. The fullness of Jesus. Do you believe that host becomes body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus, and the contents of that chalice becomes body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus? You know something? If I was to ask many Catholics, and many of you are pretty astute, but we have many that don't come to church. If I was to ask many Catholics, do you believe in that? Explain it to me. They would get it wrong. Say something, it presents Jesus, it represents Jesus, it's a symbol of Jesus. That's not what we teach. It's a real presence. So, brothers and sisters, how does this change take place? How does bread and wine become body, blood, soul, divinity? Draw, it still looks like bread, still tastes like wine. What do we believe? I'm going to read something to you today. I think it's the best summary I have ever seen that explains this. Okay, that ever explains this. Okay, here it is. Transubstantiation is a theological term that describes what happens to the bread and wine during the consecration as they become the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus. It sounds complicated, but it's really not. For starters, in philosophical and theological terms, all materials are made up of what we call substance and accidents. The substance of a thing is essentially what a thing is. For example, the substance of a guitar is simply, it's a guitar. It's what it is. It's not a chair. It's not a camera. Guitar is a guitar. Okay? The accidents of a thing are its physical attributes, what it looks like, feels like, etc. Going with the guitar, again, its accidents are that it's brown, it's hard, the wood has a certain feel to it, it also has strings to it, etc., etc. Okay, what takes place then during the transubstantial change is this. The accidents of a thing remain the same, while the substance changes. Okay, Father Claussen, whom I'm quoting here, once did a rather graphic demonstration of this for some teenagers by taking a guitar, an old guitar, everyone, and what did he do in front of it? He smashed it, completely shattered it. Okay? He took all the pieces then, and he put them in a pile. After that episode, he pointed out the accidents of the guitar remain the same. Pile of rubble still was brown. It still was hard. Pieces had the same texture and feel of wood. Strings were still there. However, the substance of the guitar had dramatically changed. It was no longer a guitar. It had changed into a complete pile of junk. I could take this chair, everyone, and give you the same example. This is a chair, right? Okay? All right. So what are we saying of it, everyone? Substance, it's a chair. The accidents, it's made of wood. It's got some metal. It's got some cloth. If I took it, everyone, and I shattered it in front of you, the accidents are the same. It's still the brown wood. Still has the texture of wood. It still has the cloth. There's still the metal there. But you know something? Guess what? It's not a chair anymore. I've made it into a pile of junk. Okay? And this is what happens to the bread and wine during the consecration. Their accidents remain the same. The host looks and tastes like bread. The wine still looks and tastes like wine. But what they are, their substance has changed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, all this may sound good and make sense to a certain degree, but many Catholics just don't believe it. And this, brothers and sisters, is where you have to have faith. Okay? If at every Mass, the host physically turned into flesh and the wine physically turned into blood, I think a lot of you would be too scared to even come forward and receive communion. Okay? What if I said, here you go. Eat some of my flesh. I'll give you some of my blood, drink it. What'd you say? Disgusting. Right? How many of you would really receive if it did? Probably be scared. Too scared. But if it happened, if we did, if that really happened, we would have absolutely no doubt at all, and thus we would have no need for faith. And that's how God operates. Jesus challenges us to be people of faith. Our life on earth is about faith, and our eternal life is our reward for how we lived out that faith. So look at the readings of today, everyone, especially the God. Jesus says, "Eat my body, drink my blood, and you will live forever." This is where I am confounded by Catholics who say this. I don't need to go to church because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well then, can you explain to me John chapter 6? I'm not making this up. Jesus said, unless you eat, unless you drink, you will have no life in you. It's paramount that we receive him. And that's why we do what we do. We come, we listen to his word, we receive the power of the Eucharist, and with that we are strengthened to go into the world. Brothers and sisters, this is the church Jesus instituted. I'm not making this up. Go back to the early church. They gathered, broke open everyone the word, and they received the Eucharist. And for the Jewish people, it was too much. So in the end, they had to break off. But what we do remains the same. And so, in closing today, you know something? The last sacrament you can receive, you should receive, before you go home to eternal life. If you've never been baptized, it isn't baptism. Although you should be baptized. If you've never been confirmed, it isn't confirmation. Although you should be confirmed. It isn't penance. It is not the anointing of the sick. It is actually Holy Communion. Viaticum. If possible. Viaticum means the food that we receive to go home. The food to eternal life. So profound is this gift that at the end of Mass today, we do a procession. We show it publicly to people as we walk about. People will be driving by wondering, what are we doing? But what we're showing everyone is this is whom we believe. This is who we trust. This is the true presence of Jesus Christ. What a gift. So let's celebrate that gift, everyone, on this great Father's Day weekend as we celebrate once again the solemnity, the body, the blood of Jesus Christ.